Guess who's back? That's right. I'm Gab. He's Jules. Gray Sky's over West London, but don't worry, Jules. I'm back to brighten up the day. You miss me?
Oh, I missed you so much.
You know, went as
it
far
felt like
away.
The longest holidays ever.
I did go as far away as I possibly could. I went to Antarctica.
Amazing.
As you know, yes, I've now been to all seven continents. The Gab and Jules show is expanding
everywhere.
The seals and the penguins love it. But anyway, we have a packed show for you because we got tons of quick hits. Manchester City out of the League Cup. I bet that burns. Milan out of the Coppa Italia. Lionel Messi back. But let's start in the home of football. I'm kidding. All right. Sorry, Saudi fans. But but you can make the point because they have the Super Cup.
Yep.
They have Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yep.
And that's where, obviously, it's a four-team semifinal format. Real Madrid playing Valencia. And it went all the way to penalties.
It went to penalties, which might be surprising for you or for the ones who thought that Real Madrid were a heavy favorite, which they were. And they took the lead as well in the first half that they controlled pretty well, I thought. Played some good stuff, maybe could have scored a second. And then the second half, they just came back from the dressing room not being like ready for it. And Valencia scored very early in a poor goal to concede from
Real Madrid. It was a really bad goal.
Really poor. The cross from Lato and the finish from Lino was just like
too
easy.
It's not just that, but the Lato cross, like Nacho's playing left back.
Yeah.
And you would think you're a center back. Your natural thing is to close people down, right? That's... No, he's like 2 meters away from him.
Yeah.
And he's like, go ahead. I dare you. I double dare you. Cross it.
I know no one is going to score. Oh, no. And then, so after that, it was more or less game on, even if Real Madrid had plenty of chances. And Mamardashvili, the Georgian goalkeeper, Valencia, had a really good game and made great saves, especially in extra time as well on the Vinicius chance, for example, the big one on the Toni Kroos' shot. But then Valencia had a chance to win it at the end. Perez was on his own and Courtois made a huge save. So he went to pens. And then I think we all knew once he got to pens that Real Madrid were going to be the winners.
About Perez, fun fact, which I didn't know until recently, is who Perez's dad is.
Go on. I don't know this.
It's legendary Valencia winger, Rufete.
Okay.
There you go. I'm glad I can impart.
Yeah.
I don't think Valencia played poorly at all, especially in the second half.
Yeah.
With Real Madrid, I think what we are noticing, and this team feels thin to me. Now, not just the center forward issue, which we'll get to in a minute, but Toni Kroos being asked to play there was no Tchouaméni, obviously. Kroos being asked to play in that position is not the same thing. It's not. You know, it might work if you're going to go and try to play with 60, 70% possession, which Real Madrid don't generally do. Mm. It's just not comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, Camavinga started and got injured. It's another injury after the Tchouaméni one and the Alaba one, by the way. And let's hope that the other two are out for 3 weeks. Let's see what Camavinga exactly has. Then you bring Luka Modric to halftime, which maybe was earlier than what Carlo would have liked to. I don't know. But then that changes, obviously, the dynamic as well of your team. And maybe that's why as well the second half was slow to start with. That was not as good as the first half where they had more control to it. But it's clearly an area where that's why I think they're being linked with Jude Bellingham. That's why they're in for Bellingham. They're going to look for someone else as well to come in the summer. And we're not sure what is going to happen to Luka Modric's contract and to Toni Kroos' contract at the end of the season as well.
We're going to get into that more on the Gab and Jules podcast, but I want to take a step back because I think a lot of people, including I certainly was surprised. Obviously, we're both big Carlo fans. I've known Carlo and Rino Gattuso for many years.
Yeah.
What he said before the game.
I know a lot. I mean, I love that beef that really was unexpected and that how they won trophies together, obviously two Champions League as a manager and player, but then like fell out and not really explaining why they just like stop being friends, basically.
So the thinking, and again, I haven't spoken to Carlo or to Gattuso about this, but people close to them suggest it has to do with when Ancelotti was replaced by Gattuso at Napoli. If you remember, there was a player revolt against the club after when the president wanted to make them go and sequester them in a hotel. And Ancelotti said, "No, the players are grown ups." Blah blah blah. Eventually, Ancelotti was sacked. The team did much better under Gattuso, and the thinking was, and De Laurentiis says, oh, look, you know, they weren't, Ancelotti was too kind. They weren't training properly under Ancelotti. It's not like Gattuso says, oh, yeah, I whipped him into shape. But the feeling there was some resentment from Ancelotti's side that maybe Gattuso didn't come out and say, well, no, actually.
Oh, kind of defending him. You know, yeah.
It's weird. It doesn't seem to fit Ancelotti's personality.
No, I didn't think he did resentment.
It's a strange one. And they say, oh, but it's a sporting disagreement, not a personal disagreement. It certainly felt frosty last night.
Yeah, it did.
But we're going to get into all this on the Gavin Jules podcast. All right, Jules, I want to go back to Ancelotti for a second because everybody says, oh, he's a nice guy, blah, blah, blah.
Which he is.
He is. I can tell you there are some people he doesn't like.
Yeah,
there aren't
sure.
many people he's clashed with before. I'm assuming when he was at Paris Saint-Germain, even locally, never had any kind
never,
of...
Never, not that I know of. That's why I was a bit surprised. I didn't know what happened with Gattuso at the time, and I still feel so strongly about it, clearly, a few years after. But, yeah.
It's also, you know, Gattuso's kind of... recast himself as obviously people the same age of him as like, you know, sort of this very intense player and a guy who comes from nothing. And it is true.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'll never forget the first time I interviewed Gattuso. I think he was at Rangers. He's like 19. It's somehow popped up and he was with Rangers at time, Lorenzo Amoruso, formerly Fiorentina and whatnot, and, you know, sort of tall, handsome captain, well-dressed and whatever. And Rino Gattuso comes out and he's wearing like a shell suit and like gold chains and he's like shouting and, you know, all the Scottish fans were expecting like, oh, look, you know, oh, look, silky Italian. And they see Gattuso play and he's like, right, he's like one of us. And then, you know, but he takes that and nobody really believed in him. And then obviously he goes on and becomes world champion. And so... it's an odd one. There's a sense, some people have suggested, that Gattuso signing with George Mendes has turned some people against him. You recall that, you know, he agreed to become manager of Fiorentina, and then he goes and he submits like a shopping list to Fiorentina, and it's like all these Mendes clients on huge amounts of money. Which, you know, Fiorentina, Rocco Commisso, and Joe Barone saying, not happening. Look, you're not going to go.
Don't think so.
You know, but, you know, again, at Valencia, I think in difficult circumstances, I think he's done well.
Really, really, really well.
I thought, you know, the development of Lino, for example, you know, again, he showed he's an interesting player.
Yeah, Yunus Musa as well. There's a few. I mean, he's got a few that are difficult. Having watched them when we went to Valencia with the family against Mallorca, it was, you know, there's some like Justin Clover where you just watch them play and say, okay, you've got talent, but there's no way you can go.
Right.
And even, you know, Gattuso, others have tried before and there's not much you can make out of them. But yeah, I agree with you. And collectively, he said he was proud of the team, and I think he was right to be, because it was a tough game, and I think they did well for themselves.
And he has kind of, I think, gone out of his way to recast himself as a nice guy. Obviously, when he was linked to Spurs, you know, stuff that he said in the past has clashed with Joe Jordan and whatever. He's done, and I think he's explained them. He's apologized for some of these things. I think obviously they're so sensitive to some people,
yeah,
and you can buy it or not buy it. But he has made an effort. And that's why I was so surprised that Carlo would go back to this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Carlo's a veteran with the media. He knows how to handle it.
Yeah.
If he comes out and he says this, he's not misspeaking. He's doing it by choice.
Definitely.
So I thought that was interesting.
Nah, definitely.
In terms of where they are, I suggested before, they're a little thin. And I want to get to the Benzema issue because he comes back. He's fit now. He scored. Were you a bit surprised with the defending on the Benzema goal?
Yeah. I mean, Comer is not, you know, he's not the best centre-back. He's not the best defender. I don't know why then they make him take a penalty in second place after Cavani, and he missed his pen, and already in the shootout they were under pressure and on the back foot. But it's just that you watch the game and you know exactly what Karim is going to do, and then he fell for it, really, because it was a clumsy challenge. I expect Karim to go from strength to strength now. The World Cup is behind him and all the disappointment. I hope that the injuries are behind him as well. It was quite a tough first half of the season where I think his mind was just about the Ballon d'Or and winning it. And I wonder if maybe that also played a bit of a part on, you know, what happened with the injuries and stuff like that. And now all of that is behind. It's a new year that starts. He's very happy. He's, you know, I would think that he's going to be Karim the Dream very soon again. And certainly to score that first penalty as well after Cavani did his first one. And I was glad, by the way, quickly, that the two best takers took their pens first, like we saw Kylian and Messi in the World Cup final. Not in the Brazil-Croatia game, of course, as we know, but I think that was the right thing to do.
By the way, has he retired from the national team?
He has, yeah.
Officially, he announced an official retirement from the national team?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because I didn't expect to ever see him again for obvious reasons, but I wasn't sure if he's actually...
I think he might have come back had Zinedine Zidane replaced Didier Deschamps. Now that we know that Deschamps is staying until 2026, there's no way back.
Okay, so here's my thing. So first half of the season, regular listeners will know, I banged on incessantly about how you need somebody to back up Benzema because he's older, because what he did last season was superhuman and so on. And still, nobody's listening. It's still Mariano and Asensio and Rodrigo and some kind of weirdness there. It doesn't look like they didn't go for Cristiano, which was, a fanciful thing. I didn't think it was likely, but I thought it would have been interesting. Although, who knows? I mean, I know he's supposed to make his debut with Al Nassr on the 21st. Maybe after a couple of weeks in Saudi Arabia, he's like, my God, what have I done?
He can't be registered with three teams in the same season. So now he's stuck there. He can't move unless he goes back to United. That's
ooh,
it.
Ooh, how about that, huh? No? No? No?
No, no,
definitely
no,
not happen. Okay.
No.
Should they move? Are they... Because...
We go back to the same thing, though. Who? What? Were you going to go and get a Borja Iglesias, for example, or someone like that? That is more body than really someone good enough for that level, for that team?
I think if you have Modric and Tchouaméni and Vinicius setting you up, I don't think you need necessarily... If you get somebody who's okay being a backup... Like I said, I go back to the, you know... It can be a Borja Mayoral type, but somebody who's a better alternative than Mariano Diaz. Because, look, it's not like Mariano Diaz comes in and scores. No, Mariano Diaz comes in and plays badly. Somebody doesn't come in at all. You've got the Asensio situation, right? And again, Asensio can't back up four positions. Neither can Rodrigo.
No, I know. The thing is, you can't... I mean, and you know... No, I mean... It's possible, but you don't go on loan for 6 months to Real Madrid. If you're Borja Mayoral or Borja Iglesias or another forward in La Liga already, you sign a 2.5 year, 3.5 year deal. So you have that player for a while, and it. Then Endrick is coming. Then you got the Kylian Mbappe and the Erling Haaland.
I want to take you back to what you said. You don't go to a club like Real Madrid on loan for 6 months?
I don't think so. Not anymore, I don't think so.
But you go to Manchester United if you're Wout Weghorst?
But that's exactly my point. No, but
I don't think it's about...
It's a different context, but Real Madrid would never sign Wout Weghorst for 6 months.
I'll tell you, I think that's wrong. I think you need insurance. I think you need insurance. You don't need a superstar. If you don't like Weghorst... I'm not saying Weghorst should have signed for Real Madrid instead of United or whatever. But that thinking... Because you are a man down. You are competing for important things. You don't know what's going to happen with injuries and suspensions. And unless...
But what if nothing happens then? What if Karim is fit the whole season? What if he's very good again?
If nothing happens, you've spent a pittance for 6 months on somebody who's there, who trains with you, who hangs out with Mariano on the bench, and whatever. And it doesn't cost you a lot of money. Relative to the amount of money you can lose and the trophies you fail to win, if... You don't have that option. I think it's significant.
I don't think right now this is the policy they go after. They're like Julien Faubert, this is the Galactico team. They go for
Camavinga,
they go for Tchouaméni, would go for Erling. And
you
Kylian.
Say that, but Dani Ceballos is still there and he's getting playing time. And he's getting playing time because they're not bringing in another Dani
Ceballos. Yeah, but it was not a 6 month loan. He had a great season at Betis, and then it was that time where they were signing all the best young Spanish.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is old Real Madrid would have moved Dani Ceballos and bought somebody else. Interesting when you
financially maybe there's a
where these two clubs are run, again juxtaposing with Barcelona. People seem to forget Real Madrid don't have an investor. They don't have an owner putting money, right? So they balance the books, every year.
And they've just spent 60 million on Endrick.
And they were willing to push the boat out for, and they spent a lot of money on Tchouaméni, they were willing to push the boat out for Mbappe. Speaking of Endrick, it's been reported in several outlets, including in Spain, that part of the way they convinced Endrick to come was they assured him that, oh, don't worry, we won't be going for Haaland or Mbappe in the next couple of years, so, you know, you will have the front line to yourself. Do you believe that?
No.
Yeah, neither do I.
So Endrick rocks up in Madrid in December 2024 when he turns 18 and he's allowed. And what?
Benzema has retired and they're like, okay, here you go.
Yeah, hey, we don't know if you're going to be good or not, good enough or not, because he's clearly very talented, but it might take him a couple of years, like for Vinicius, for example, to just adapt and get the maturity and the consistency that you need to be a Real Madrid superstar. So what do you do in the meantime? Well, you just, I just don't think it's possible. And also you can play Kylian and Endrick. You can play Haaland and Endrick together. Okay, the three together, maybe not. So
we think that Kylian and Haaland, not this summer, maybe not next summer, but at some point, Kylian or Haaland or somebody of that magnitude or close to that magnitude is still in play for Real Madrid.
100%.
Maybe this summer. Going forward.
Yeah, I'm convinced that the door will always be open for Kylian Mbappe. They might wait for him to be a free agent again. So wait another 18 months and then go for him.
Well, do we know that it's 18 months or do we know that it's... Because it's a 2+1 deal, right?
Yeah, so in 18 months...
Year from now, he's a year away from the...
But then you'll have to pay something, which I think would be very difficult to find an agreement with PSG then if that's the case. But for me, that door will always be open. And then if Haaland's... decides to leave City at some point, then I think, again, if you're Real Madrid and you haven't signed Kylian Mbappe at that time, then you have to go and be a contender for Haaland. If you might not get him, but I think you'd be crazy not to go for him as well.
How big a deal is the Alaba injury going forward?
I think it's 3 weeks. It should not be too bad, but we saw a bit of a shaky Ferland Mendy in the Villarreal game, giving the ball away on the first goal, being not very good defensively. Even again, yesterday we mentioned the goal that Lino scores, the way it happens, the sort of apathy about the defending. And again, on the Perez chance right at the end, I think that's far too easy for Valencia to create that. And so, maybe defensively it's a bit worrying.
I don't think they've played very well defensively. I think they're definitely, and I think that's another area where, I'm not saying just keep adding center backs, right? Because it doesn't work that way. But if Alaba is injured or not right or going through a bad situation, if you're using Mendy, if you're using Mendy at left back as opposed to center back, which of course he's also done, you just have Militao essentially to kind of hang
and
your
Rudiger.
Head on. And Rudiger, who of course comes with another raft of potential issues. So
is the right back really where they
And then at right back, you have Carvajal, who's older, who's kind of up and down, or then you go with Lucas Vazquez, who I think in certain games he's perfect for it and actually does a very good job. In other games, I'm not 100%.
Yeah, I agree with
you. To me, it's a little... I mean, we never know what's behind the curtain, right? Obviously, they had saved that money away to spend on Mbappe in the summer. They didn't spend it. You can say, oh, but they spent the money on Endrick. Okay, fine. But they also sold Casemiro, right?
Yeah.
And they got Casemiro's wages off the bill.
And so, big transfer fee.
Yeah. So Endrick and Casemiro kind of net out. So I would have to believe that the Mbappe money is all still there.
Yeah.
So
I would agree.
Stay tuned. Because I think, again, maybe not January. Although, again, in January, I would bolster this team
with
an alternative.
Maybe they should. Maybe they will, but and the Bernabeu would be fully functioning very soon, bringing a lot more money.
Bringing more revenue as well. Yeah. So that's kind of where they are. Final word on Valencia. What constitutes a good season for them, you think?
It's difficult. The context is toxic. Again, I remember going to the game in October before the World Cup and the fans the protest against the ownership, of course, will always be there until the the Peter Lim family sell. But I think they're doing a decent job. And the thing is, they will lose Yunus Musa at some point because he's too good for that level. Cavani is as he is. I think Nico was on loan from Barcelona as well.
Yeah.
So there's a few of the best ones that you could expect will leave at the end of the season, maybe. And then you'd have to start again. And I think it would be difficult. So I'm not sure what really they can expect and hope for.
Yeah, no, you're in a situation where you're very much, I think, putting patches on things.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough Supercoppa de Saudi Arabia. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gav. I've missed saying that, you know.
Manchester City are dumped out of the League Cup, losing 2-0 away to Southampton, who are bottom of the Premier League.
Yeah.
Jules, I don't normally put much stock or need any stock in the League Cup.
And I know.
Yes, Guardiola did make changes. But Nathan Jones, I went through all these regulars that weren't there, that didn't start. Yeah. Jay Adams, El Yunusi, the Bella Kotchap guy at the back, Perot, the Armstrong brothers, who aren't actually brothers, nope. I found out. One's Scottish and one's English, apparently. Yeah. Who knew? None of these guys started either, right? So this is significant.
It wasn't the way Southampton won as well. The two goals they scored are really quality goals. And I'm obviously happy for Sekou Mara and his first goal for the club because he's one of mine. But the Gennaro goal is a wonderful goal, really. And then after that, City struggled. They struggled to create much with the ball.
You know about this argument about the sterile possession, about like, you know, one was essentially a mistake, right? Which prompted...
It's an amazing finish after the mistake, though.
And Kyle Walker trundling across, no?
Yeah, but still, I mean, I think...
The other one is a worldie, no?
No, but I don't know, what's your point?
Well, there are two incidental goals. And
I don't think that.
No, you know what? I don't think that either. I was just playing devil's advocate.
No, no, but it's just like it was one of those games, and I was at the City-Chelsea game in the Cup on Sunday where they were amazing. And this game, they were just off it. And he changed at halftime, obviously, and after the hour, brought the big guys in. They still had no shots on target, and they really struggled in that second half, I think, to get going. And it was maybe one game where either he made too many changes and should not have. But again, with the team that Guardiola started, you think that was enough to beat Southampton even away from home?
Because it's Southampton's B team.
Yeah.
It's Southampton's B team.
But also, they've been poor for the last few weeks since Nathan Jones, really. Now they've won as many games in the League Cup than they did in the league.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So I think it's one of those nights. And Milan are also up. And they are of the Coppa d'Italia, Gab. Beaten by 10-man Torino, 1-0. Is this a big deal or...
I don't think, I think Milan's goals this season are, they're going to try to catch Napoli in the league.
Yeah.
They're going to go as far as they can in the Champions League. They're also going to Saudi Arabia for the for their own Super Cup against Inter. They do have the squad to compete in this too. They made some changes. Charles de Ketelaere actually started well and then basically disappeared. You know, they had their chances. They get caught on the break. They're out. You know, take it on the chin. They had chances later. It is disappointing when, you know, you can't score against a 10-man team.
Yeah.
And there's things to work on. But I think what we know is that this is not a squad where the starters and reserves are interchangeable. It may be where they want to be, but it's not where they are.
Yeah.
No problems for Manchester United, on the other hand, who dispatched Charlton 3-0 as Marcus Rashford scores twice, the second one in the definition of garbage time. But still, he has scored in 6 straight games. He has 15 goals in all competitions this season. And we're barely at the halfway mark. We're not even at the halfway mark.
No.
Can we definitely say he's back?
Yeah, I think we can. I think while you were away after every United win, because they've won 8 in a row now, by the way, and every time he scored, we're going like, oh, wow, Marcus Rashford again and again and again. So Don gave his opinion and Robbo and Nadem and all of that. And yeah, it's what I loved about that cameo performance, because he was obviously came on quite late.
Half an hour, right?
I think he touched the balls 5 times. I got the ball 5 times. There was more touches, but I got the ball 5 times. The first 3 times lost it, dispossessed. And then the next 2 scored 2 goals. And I think now that he's got that confidence, maybe before the first 3 balls would have been a bit like, oh no, man, come on again. You know, I can't get the game right and this. And now it doesn't even matter, because he knows that at some point he's going to get that chance and be so clinical, which he was. And the Pellistri ball is great. His first touch, maybe not so much. He still scores. The Casemiro ball is amazing. His first touch is perfect. The finish is great too. That's the way it is. And now I can't wait to see him against City at the weekend in the derby.
Yeah, it's just quickly on this. We saw Garnacho with his tricks. I thought he's growing in confidence, still raw, but you know he can contribute. Pellistri, there's talk that he may go again. Which would make sense. What'd you make of the kid Kobe?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, Ten Hag said that he trained really well and deserved to start.
Played an hour.
Yeah, it's
17 years old.
I know. And I guess a game like that, Old Trafford against a League One team, is probably right to put you in for your first game, you know, debut for the team. So well done to him. And sticking with United, Gab, Wout Weghorst is on his way over from Besiktas. He should be confirmed today. It's going to cost them around €3 million for half of the season. Is that a good business for you?
Well, relative to what Chelsea are paying for João Félix, yeah, we'll get you. This is tremendous business.
Yeah.
For those who are unclear on this, he is a Burnley player, but you know, there's no recall clause. It's unusual to have a recall clause for veterans anyway, when you're especially when you're moving to another country in Europe. So Besiktas says, well, hey guys, hang on. We need to find a replacement and we want some money back. Yeah, and rightly so. I think it's good. I think it's another body. People have compared this to when they signed, you know, Odio Nigolo. The difference is that, you know, this is 6 month loan deal. This is a player who, you know, we have Ten Hag and players who are either Dutch or played in Holland. You know, there's a certain affinity there.
Of course, yeah.
He's different from the other players they have.
That's why they want
him. He's humble. Why not? Yeah, as I said, you need a body. In the same way Real Madrid, could use another body. You know, why not Weghorst?
Yeah.
Lionel Messi returns 3.5 weeks after the World Cup final and scores for Paris Saint-Germain as they beat Angers 2-0 to become winner champions in Ligue 1 with a bit of help from Lens, who lost.
Yeah, so it's 4 champions, as we call it, champion d'automne in France, but in winter this time, which is weird, and every time, to be fair. They didn't play well. It was a boring game, really, apart from the...
it was the goal early from Ekitike,
and then literally nothing happened. The second half was... I thought it was an embarrassment. But anyway, he scored a lovely goal with his right foot, which is rare enough to mention. And his name was obviously, cheered and they were happy. He didn't have a proper sort of like presentation on the pitch with the World Cup or the medal.
Really want to be trolling the French fans.
Michel Montana, who is our speaker,
the stadium announcer, yeah.
Didn't say he was a World Cup winner either. But yeah, good to see him back. And now we're waiting for the next game against Rennes, which should be more challenging than that one against Angers, bottom of the table. Gab, staying with PSG, according to a report from Football Benchmark, PSG lost €369 million in 21-22. They have already been fined €10 million by UEFA for violating FFP. And if they don't meet compliance targets, they would be fined another €55 million. How worrying is this, do you think?
Yeah, and by the way, this season, things have gotten even more expensive because they spent more money in the summer and gave Mbappe a new contract. PSG had €670 million in revenue. Now, that's like the baseline figure, including I'm doing air quotes with those listening at home, sponsorship from Qatar. They're... Squad costs, meaning the amortization of the players they signed and the wages, is $728 million, which is, I don't see how you square the books. I think this is the big challenge for UEFA. You know, these are significant fines. There's also punishments, which are sporting punishments that I think they need to look at if they're serious about it.
Yeah.
Obviously, people are going to look at it and say, oh, look, Nasser Al-Khelaifi is the head of the European Clubs Association and Cheffrin's ally, and so it'll be a soft touch. I think there's a lot at stake here. But who knows? No, maybe in the summer.
Yeah, or maybe
in the summer they'll sell Killian for $300 million.
Oh, I imagine. Maybe.
More Paris Saint-Germain. Inter Miami manager Phil Neville.
Oh, Phil.
Was asked about Messi, and he said, and I quote, rest assured, we're working every second of every day to bring in the best players, and I think he's one of the best, unquote. Jules, he's not giving up.
No, rest assured, Phil, if you're watching or listening. So are PSG and, you know, and maybe others, I don't know. But right now, we know there's an agreement in principle between Messi and Messi camp and PSG to stay just a bit longer. I mean, good on Inter Miami not to give up. I think, you know, keep trying because
should they be working every second of every day on a different player? Is that what you're saying?
I think I was going to finish by saying that Phil Neville especially should work every second of every day trying to make his team better and himself better as a manager. Just make it what you want from what I've just said. Inter struggled, but eventually beat Parma in extra time to advance in the Coppa d'Italia 2-1. But Gab, how about Gigi Buffon's? Are 44 years old, obviously starting for Parma in goal.
First of all, let me apologize to fans of the other Inter, because you're also a real Inter, Internazionale de Porto Alegre, of course.
Yeah, true. That's who I meant.
But, first of all, Buffon made some tremendous saves. Isn't crazy? He's 44 years of age. Jules, he's older than you.
I know, man.
I mean, come on, man. What are we talking about here?
Love that.
I think Inter really struggled in this game. I think they looked really, really flat. They went a goal down. The equalizer came courtesy of a big deflection. The winner was a bizarre winner in extra time, where of all people, the ball comes to Acerbi, you know, the big ugly center back at the end of the... Not ugly, ugly, where he plays.
Ugly player, yeah. Not elegant. Not an elegant player.
And he heads the ball from the edge of the box. There's a big looping header in. It's a bizarro goal. Not a good performance. Again, Inter said, we're focused on other things. Okay, great. You're focused on other things. But Parma are in Serie B for a reason. And I think you expect more. But shout out to Fede Di Marco, I think, who, again, was really, really good.
Yeah, really good.
Arsenal beat Oxford United in the FA Cup back on Monday night. 3-0 as Enny Nketiah bags two goals. Jules, Gabriel, who?
Yeah, I mean, they took their time and eventually, I think, prevailed. First goal on set pieces just unlocked the game. Mo Elneny with the goal. Fabio Vieira with the assist. And then Eddie Nketiah, two really good finishes. The first one on the ball from Fabio Vieira, really lovely through ball around the keeper. The second one on the Martinelli assist, where he kind of dinks it a little bit. It shows the confidence. This was no offense to Oxford fans, but only Oxford's. Let's see against Spurs if he can do the same. Sticking with that game, Gav, the FA are investigating Oxford defender Kieran Brown for the yellow card he received.
Yeah, this looked really, really bad. And so the allegation is there's this thing called, I think it's called spot fixing or something, where you can bet the time a yellow card or who's going to receive a yellow card. And obviously, I'm assuming he denies all allegations. If you look at the way he received the yellow card, which is basically he fouls somebody and then he gets the ball and he starts running back with it and doesn't give it back. It doesn't look good. It doesn't mean anything's there. But you know what? No, you can find these things out. You can look at the betting patterns. Let's hope that this is just a mix.
Yeah.
Chelsea kick off in a few hours against Fulham. But in the meantime, Graham Potter has a big name reinforcement. João Félix has joined on loan through the end of the season for €11 million. Plus his wages, of course. Jules.
Yeah, I think that's an expensive 6-month loan because there's no option to buy or obligation to buy either. He's a very talented kid. We love him, of course. I just don't think he's the answer on his own to all the attacking issues from a Chelsea point of view. I'm expecting another signing as a forward to go with João Félix because right now there's no runners in that team, for example. There's similar players in the way they ask for the ball at feet. I just don't think on his own he will be the solution.
He's not the answer to anything. I think, he if you want to go and nurture him and turn him back so he can tap into his talent, fine. But in terms of the type of player he is and what he does, he's not a normal fit. Could he come in and play really great because he's very talented? Sure. But I don't think this is what Graham Potter needs at all. And this is a ton of money. And again, brings you back to the Jorge Mendes-Boli relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Plenty of reports out of Spain that Barcelona could welcome back Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, that's true. If Memphis Depay moves on and to go to Atletico Madrid, for example, and if Aubameyang takes a pay cut, if he's free, yeah, there's a lot of if in there.
Yeah.
But what a crazy story that would be.
There's a ton of ifs. Basically, if everything is on Barcelona's terms, then they'll take him back. But let's also remember the reasons why he left Barcelona's in the city in the first place. I don't think this is happening. Even more Chelsea, as they're linked with Marcus Thuram, whose contract expires in June. Is he the answer?
I think he could be part of the answer, certainly.
Wait, is he the center forward they're looking for?
Certainly, I think there's someone that they could do with and that could do well there. He's not a world-class striker yet.
He'll be free in June, right?
That's good. Yeah, I think you could wait for June, of course, and get him on a free. You can move in now. It won't cost you too much. But clearly, his great World Cup has brought in a lot of interest. Newcastle beat Leicester 2-0 to advance to the League Cup semi-final. Gab, this was more one-sided than the score suggests. I mean, they were all over them.
They were all over them and played with so much intensity, so much energy. Obviously, Leicester maybe, have other things. Whereas you feel that for Newcastle, this is a priority. Newcastle obviously haven't won silverware in ages. This is something which I think they feel is attainable, even more so. They know that it's time, but obviously that City are out as well. They're going to like their chances. But how about the Dan Byrne goal?
Oh, my God. If Dan Byrne scores a goal like that, you know something special is happening there.
Oh, I love it with the big man with the feet. It was part strength, part close control, the ball falling for him.
And obviously his family being in the stand, being a Geordie himself.
And yeah, the guy's from Newcastle. He's a fan. After.
It's an amazing story.
It's an like there's a lot of things to maybe question about Newcastle, but the excitement they brought to the city, the way they're playing, well done. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. Nottingham Forest are also in the League Cup semi-final. Yeah, well, they beat Wolverhampton Wanderers on penalties. And as Morgan Gibbs-White makes a heel turn against his old club. We need to explain this a little bit, Jules. Yeah. We'd be surprised if most people are watching the other game.
Yeah, so it's the penalty shooter. Of course, Morgan Gibbs-White was a former Wolves player.
And I believe he was homegrown at Wolves as well.
Yeah, homegrown. Yeah. Very talented kid, of course, part of that great generation of England youth players who won the World Cup in the 17, I think it was, and then left to go to Forest on a big transfer, sort of big money transfer, to be fair. Scores his penalty, then there's the celebration, and then every single Forest player doing the celebration as
the
well.
The celebration was he puts his fingers in his
like
ears.
The like the Memphis Depay.
Yeah, because he's being booed.
In front of the Wolves fans. And then the Wolves players, which I thought was a bit over the top, really, reacting really badly, angrily. I mean, I guess you the way you lose on penalties like that, a quarterfinal of a cup game, is frustrating. But yeah, it's then he kicked off, really kicked off.
Well, I also kind of feel to some degree, right, is okay. The guy scores. He gets booed, and Wolves fans have every right to boo
the whole game,
their own, and whatever. That's fine. You know, I got no issue with that whatsoever. He does a celebration. And then if you're Wolves, you kind of get your back, because then the next dude who took the penalty, I forget who it was, goes and does the same celebration, mocking him. And I'm like, okay, we're even now, right? You know, let the fans have it. I mean, unless something was said.
Yeah, you would think
it's hard
maybe,
to judge.
I don't know.
It doesn't seem necessary.
No, definitely not. The FA have confirmed that the chant "Renboy" is considered discrimination, and they will take action against clubs whose fans sing it. Gam, some of our listeners might not know what it means.
Yeah, you hear this a lot from away fans at Chelsea. So
rent boy, which I'd say this is not a term I had heard before I moved to England, is a male gay prostitute. And the thinking is, I'm trying to explain this from a northern perspective. I'm not from up north, but I think the idea is that Chelsea, because they had a reputation of being somewhat flash, somewhat effete, you know, this feeds into certain stereotypes or whatever. Again, you hear this all the time. I don't think you just hear it at Chelsea. I think you hear it at other London clubs when teams from the north come. I mean, it didn't occur to me necessarily if is it the prostitution part? Is it that I don't know either. But you know what? There's no reason to be discriminatory and defensive. So, you know, people have been warned. Let's see if the FA act. Jules, I feel like I need an update from the wild world of French FA boss Noël Legret.
Yes, we got him. Finally, we got him. He was withdrawn, to put it simply. So he hasn't resigned. He hasn't been sacked either. At the moment, he's only withdrawn from his role as the head of the French FA.
He self-suspended himself.
Yeah. Suspended by, well, yeah, by himself and by his exec committee. Which got together yesterday, and it's crazy after those crazy few days, the way Legret disrespected Zidane on Sunday, of course, but on the back of everything else that's been happening in the last few weeks.
Those words with the, is it Sonia Sudi? Is that her
Suid,
name?
Yeah, Suid, the agent that she revealed how...
It's just pretty awful stuff.
Yeah, and she's not the only one, unfortunately. There's plenty other women who worked at the Federation, who are still working with the Federation, who've been harassed by him for dinners and coming to his apartment late and you know, more inappropriate gestures or messages or things like that. So he's kind of out of the picture, but not really completely out yet. But we expect it to be very soon anyway. Philippe Diallo, who was his vice president, who is a very different guy, has kind of taken over now, and we will see. But I think for the sake of French football, Noël Legret at 81 years old and after 12 years at the helm needs to disappear completely.
What I don't understand about this guy is, like you said, he's 81 years old, right? So he must have been reelected several times. He must have a power base.
Yeah, that's his third.
Who likes him? Or is it just because the guy before him, Escalette, was the guy who had the whole stuff with Raymond Dominic, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
he's got allies, to be fair, within the exec committee. I think very powerful men in French football, like Jean-Michel Aulas, for example, had a very good relationship with Noël Legret, who is a very smart guy, who is a businessman who did really well for himself, but ran that federation like a dictator, really, on his own terms. So it was all about him, all about the way he was running. There was a lot of toxic environment within the federation, the big malaise. And just recently, look how the way Deschamps got his new deal. Legret decided on his own, when usually the rule is that he goes to the exec committee and they agree collectively that, yes, right, we give a new contract to the head coach. No, he did that on his own. And this is not the way of running. It's not a democratic way of running a federation. And that was wrong from the beginning. But it was the impunity was just out of this world. So I'm glad that finally we got rid of him.
I guess nobody's left to defend him.
Not really, no. Enzo Fernandez scored for Benfica in the 2-0 cup win against Vazim. Chelsea had reportedly, as we know, made a bid. But the way he celebrated suggests that, you know, I think he's staying. The shirt and the finger staying and me staying kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, if now he moves and it's an even bigger, like, wow, WWE heel turn, you know. By the way, reports, WWE, so I just can inject this, like, reports that they're being bought by Saudis, by PIF. How about that?
Yeah.
Not confirmed yet, I don't think, but we'll see. Obviously, it has an enormous release clause. I was shocked that Chelsea moved so quickly and decided, well, maybe I shouldn't be, given who's still running Chelsea.
Yeah.
But a wonderful player. I think it's a ton of money, but less than his release clause, which I think his release clause was 120-odd million.
Yeah.
When you then go out and you celebrate like that, and when your manager, Roger Schmidt, comes out and says, no, he's staying, he's staying, he's staying, he's told me he's staying, for him to now move
Yeah, I mean, you really have to be the worst person in the world. So I'm guessing he's there, you know, through the summer. Then summer, who knows? But for now, you know, good for him to make that
statement.
I agree
with you.
Let's stay in Portugal, where Roberto Martinez is the new national team manager. But who's taking his old job with Belgium?
That's the question, Gab. We don't know yet. They've just closed the... I don't know if you sent your CV.
I have not applied.
Everybody could have sent it. They closed the application, I think, yesterday or the day before yesterday. So they've received all the applications from...
Rafa Benitez?
Maybe Rafa Benitez, Claude Puel, maybe. Hervé Renard said that he didn't send his. Thierry Henry said he didn't send his.
What about Thomas Henry?
Thomas Henry? Maybe.
Although he could be player...
Player manager,
coach.
Yeah. I'm not sure they will go down that route.
Amandine Henry?
Louis van Gaal, for example, who said before that he would be interested, that he loves Belgium, where he obviously played and managed.
Sorry, Louis van Gaal, who's... Because he's very old and retires from Holland and goes to manage Belgium next door.
Yeah, imagine. I mean, that would be crazy. Let's see. I mean, I think Thierry wants the job, even if he hasn't applied for it. Technically, I think we've heard from Jeremy Doku, for example, saying that Thierry would be the best candidate to pick. Lukaku said the same.
I'll say this.
Alderweireld said the same.
He hasn't applied. If you say, because he knows this is the process, you have to send a CV, and he doesn't do that, then...
But they know, the Federation knows that he wants the job.
Okay, then I hope the Federation was clear and said, hey, send in your resume... But then we might not pick from the resume.
I know, but if your whole dressing room wants Thierry, it would be strange to appoint him.
No, but there has to be a process, I'm saying.
True. But let's see. I think it's still a very attractive job, and I believe they received a lot of applications. So let's see who maybe the shortlist is and who they go for. Aston Villa have their first signing of the Unai Emery era, Gab. They've signed Alex Moreno from Betis for 13 million euros. And there are suggestions that they also want, especially Unai, Matteo Guendouzi from Marseille, bringing him back to the Premier League.
Well, he was actually productive under Unai, wasn't he?
He was good, yeah. They loved each other.
You know, back when he had the big hair, you know.
Still has.
Maybe they'll get even bigger. Maybe that's a secret to it. I think Alex Moreno is a phenomenal player. I don't know that... I'm fascinated by him because is he really a left back? Is he really a left-sided midfielder? Is he a left winger?
Yeah, maybe.
He's got a lot of options. You can use him in many different ways. Obviously, he's a player that he's going to know well. Obviously, Luka Dean out. So I'm guessing the thinking is there. I think he's 29, and I think it's a four-year contract, which is pretty hefty for a guy who, you know, will need to adapt to this country. But there's a good player in there. Guendouzi, I don't know. Why wouldn't Marseille... Let it means he dying.
They need to balance the books, so they need money in. They've signed Malinovsky, of course, and already we're wondering if Malinovsky just come in to replace Guendouzi, who had been playing higher up the pitch under Tudor, and that now you cash in on someone that you only paid 11 million euros for, that you can easily sell for 30 now. So it would be profit wise, really good deal.
And Guendouzi, a World Cup finalist, if I'm not mistaken.
Of course, World Cup finalist.
He's got a runners up medal.
Yeah, he has the runners up medal.
And so does Hugo Lloris, who of course also has a winners medal. He has announced his retirement from international football. He's 36. He has 145 caps.
Yeah.
I think he's captained the team forever. This makes sense. And this paves the way for Magic Mike, if he ever returns.
Yeah, it makes sense. He explained that he wanted, in a very good interview in L'Equipe, that wanted to just retire at the top. And he felt, even if the final was lost, of course, against Argentina, he felt like that. So he thought it was the right time. I think the children miss him when he goes away on international duties and the big tournament and things like that. That was also a big part of him stepping down from the national team. We will miss him. He's been such a great servant to French football for 14 years. As you said, he captained the team for 121 caps of those 145, so pretty much the whole time. And great achievement in what he won and the finals that he lost as well. He was saying in the interview that there's a lot of vice in his career, vice World Cup champions, vice European champions.
Runners up, yeah.
Yeah, runners up in the Champions League, in the Euros, in the World Cup, in the league, both in England and in France.
It's fine, but you also have an actual first place medal.
I know, but imagine if all those runners up medals had been winners' medals.
Yeah, and if my aunt had wheels, she'd be a bicycle.
Do you know what I mean? So I love him, of course, and now Magic Mike is going to be the number one at 27, and he's got really good few years ahead of him once he's fit.
I think Magic Mike is, in my opinion,
even better than 36-year-old.
Yes, so and I think
who's gonna?
I think Hugo knows that.
Has he named a captain?
Not yet. And I think there are three contenders really. Varane is one, Griezmann is one, and Kylian is the other one. So let's see who Deschamps picks.
Interesting. Who would you pick? Because the reason I ask is Varane seems very low key and injured all the time. Griezmann, yeah, but you're kind of forcing yourself. I got to play this dude all the time.
Which he does already because he's played like 73 games in a row. So.
But you are kind of shoehorn, you know, you're kind of pigeonholing yourself a little bit with somebody who, you know, you're playing him in a different position than what he plays at club level.
Yeah.
And Mbappe, still pretty young, you are kind of really making a commitment.
I mean, he's 24. I think Lloris was captain at 23. Different personalities, of course, but I think Kylian has showed, especially through the World Cup in terms of leadership qualities on and off the pitch especially, that he could be the captain. I think it will be him. I might be wrong. It could be Varane, who is the vice captain, who has worn the armband, I think, 20 times or something like that. So it would be, as you said, kind of logical to go for Varane if you're from a Deschamps point of view. But I can see Kylian getting it.
Not Pogba is like a Davis Cup captain?
Oh, imagine that. I didn't think about that. Maybe, you know, maybe, maybe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pedro Porro has been linked with a move from Sporting to Tottenham for €45 million, which is his release clause. Gab, do you like this option? And is he going to play with Doherty and Emerson Royale and Jed Spence as a fourth right wing back?
So,
Matt Doherty, I mean, surely not that many right wing backs, right?
No, but I think he's going to look to, like, you know, he kind of went out of his way to say that Jed Spence was a club signing.
Yeah.
Read into it what you will.
Yeah.
Emerson Royal, I think, has just been up and down and up and down.
I mean,
down.
I think he's rubbish anyway.
I don't think that's the answer. Doherty, I don't think, is a Conte-type player. And he's 30 years old. You know, Porro's got a nice City pedigree.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
It's remember when he trolled Pep Guardiola when Sporting played City in the Champions League a couple years ago?
No, I don't remember that.
I did some weird thing about how, like, he wasn't given a chance at City.
Oh, and, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, whatever. And feel a bit.
He seems to have that little fire. Seems to be a Conte type player. €45 million, still a lot of money.
Yeah.
Marseille make it 5 wins in a row after beating Troyes 2-0. Jules, my boy Igor Tudor is in fuego. Yeah. The players like him now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a bit up and down, obviously, the way they went out of Europe. Remember that big game against Spurs where they conceded that late goal. I mean, when you win, of course they like you. And to be fair, they played really well. I mean, Troyes are rubbish, but they played really well with a lot of intensity, a lot of movement, a lot of running, which is what Tudor wants. I think Malinovsky is a very smart signing too. And I think they will do a striker too, which they need, because Alexis Sanchez can't, at 33, you know, play all those games on his own up front and all of that. And they're closing the gap with Lens, who dropped 2 points at Strasbourg. So between them in third and Lens in second, the gap is only 2 points now. So it's going to be a fascinating second half of the season for them with again, only the league and the French Cup to play, but only the league really to focus on. Everton fans are planning another sit-in protest against the club's leadership, and Frank Lampard isn't too popular either, Gab. How will this end?
So a couple of things here. So obviously they've been unhappy for a long, long time. Farhad Moshiri came out and he wrote an open letter to the fans. I think he's meeting with. There seem to be more dialogue. I think they're obviously still, many are still annoyed with Frank Lampard Jr.
Yeah.
But they're also kind of moving their attention, maybe more, at least in the public, to decisions made above, right? Helen Baxter, Baxendale, whatever her name is, Barrett Baxendale, and Moshiri. And I think they're taking the discussion there. I think the dialogue's important. And well done, Moshiri, for speaking to them. The fans aren't always going to get their way. I don't think these have been great owners.
They invested money. They have.
You know, but when you go through like three different directors of football, now this guy Selwell's in charge. Let's see what he can do. But this is an important club, especially in the context of England.
And the stadium is coming as well.
And they're working on the stadium. So, you know, there's a lot at stake there. Cardiff have paid not the first installment of the transfer fee for the late Emiliano Sala. Jules, this story still haunts me.
Yeah, Gab, at least it's the first step towards, I think, closure is the wrong word, but as sad as the whole story was, Cardiff owed none for that transfer that happened and was signed off and was, like, you know, registered and validated. Unfortunately, we never got to see him play for Cardiff, but so the money has to be paid, and they did pay the first installment of £7 million or £8 million. So there's more to be paid, but I think it's a step from the right direction. Even if you feel aggrieved as Cardiff as a football club, of course, but this is the right thing to do, and I'm glad they eventually started to do it.
And what I'm glad about too is that there was a court case here as well. There was a verdict. People were found responsible for what happened to Emiliano Sala with a tragic flight, and you know, the checks that, you know, allegedly were supposed to have been made weren't made, the conditions, all this stuff.
Yeah, completely.
I don't know if this provides any kind of comfort to somebody who's gone, but I think it's worth remembering how we got in this situation. It may never happen again.
Yeah. Former international defender Mimmo Crescito has left Toronto FC and returned to Genoa for the third time, Gab. But there's a little twist in there.
There is a little twist. I love it when players take pay cuts.
Oh, well done, Mimmo.
So he's 36 years old, obviously former Italian international. He's come back. Genoa's left back, whose name is Casey Ryan, Genoa in Serie B right now, is injured. And he says, hey, I can play left back. I played some left back. Man. I can play left center back too. You know, I played professionally in MLS for Toronto. I don't know how he did. I'm assuming not very well. He started 14 games for them. But he says, like, and if, you know, you only have to pay me the league minimum, which works out, it's about 2,300 euros net a month, which works out to maybe, 40,000 euros a year, maybe something like that. He's not there for the money. He's there because he loves the club. If he's rubbish, if he can't play anymore, he won't play. But, you know, that's the right. I'd like to see more people go and do that. You know, because a lot of people, like, do a lot of talking. And then,
I'm with you on that.
Mykhailo Mudryk from Shakhtar Donetsk continues to be linked with Arsenal. And Jules, you have an update on the Ukrainian.
Yeah, I mean, just
the Ukrainian Neymar.
Oh, the Ukrainian Neymar. I mean, he's starting the days like winter camp, like in Spain, I think they are. And you see videos of him training, and Shakhtar putting the videos like of him, you know, with the weights and stuff like that to show, like, yeah, he's still with us for now. But the two clubs are negotiating. The valuation is different now between what Arsenal are ready to
offer. It's not 100 million anymore?
No, I mean, they wanted a bit less than that on the back of what Anthony cost United, on the back of what others have cost as well in his kind of position. There was another winger that I can't remember. Oh, Jack Grealish, of course, and what he cost to City. Mudryk is a different player who's not played much for Shakhtar's first team, for example. And so they're just negotiations. He's still the priority for Arsenal, and they're still very keen on him. And I think he would improve their squad, obviously, massively. And Arteta could turn him into something very special. But for now, I don't believe there's been a breakthrough yet in the negotiation.
You know what I would do if I were Edu? You know, negotiating on behalf of Arsenal with him, I'd say, like, oh, when you bring up, oh, but look, Antony cost 100 million, or Grealish cost 100 million. I'd say, well, first of all, Antony was signed by Manchester United, so let's leave that to one side.
Yeah.
Grealish, I think most people would agree, was not worth the money that they spent for him. And but if you go and you bring me Antony and Grealish, I'll see you that, and I'll raise you Kvaratskhelia. Look.
Yes.
He came from Ukraine. How much did he cost?
Yeah.
Really? Did he cost... Did he cost 100 million? No. Is Mudryk better than Kvaratskhelia? Yeah. Is he seven times better than Kvaratskhelia? Yeah. You know, no, keep negotiating. Because 100 is just a nice round number, right? Let's pull this. I mean, great player. And obviously, look, I'm joking about Shakhtar. I feel bad for
everything
they've been through. And they're entitled to try to get the best possible
friends. And they need money as well. And they want the most they can.
But you can't just use Antony as a benchmark.
No,
you know.
I agree with you, definitely. Tottenham won't be activating the optional one-year extension of Lucas Moura's contract, which means that he becomes a free agent in June and will leave the club.
Which I think makes sense. He's 30 years old. He obviously doesn't, you know, he's on starter money, and he's not a starter now, as it is.
Yeah, he's hardly played this season, yeah.
I think he can still contribute somewhere, but probably not at Spurs. I think he'd be a smart pickup on a free, and I think And I think this makes sense for Tottenham. And
yeah, 5 years he's
been. And I wish him well. You know, he's been there, he's done his part, and move on.
Completely.
Arsenal have unveiled some neat artwork at the Emirates. Yeah. I know, Jules, you're excited. You had a special request.
I just think
to put
it's amazing. I just think it's amazing what they've done. It takes stadium artwork to a new level.
And Arsenal already set the bar at a certain level with those big statues where they have the mural of Tony Adams embracing players from the past and
now
Herbert Chapman.
And then those banners made with fans. It was a very collective effort. The Arsenal family got together, if you want, former players, all of that. And you've got different banners celebrating the club history, the fans, the Invincibles, the women's side that won everything and was unbeatable as well, and all of that. And I think it's great. And I just hope, not just because it's Arsenal, but I just hope other clubs do the same, you know, get together with the fans and former players, current players, to get something done special for the stadium, that when you travel to that stadium, you identify yourself to it, you feel at home, you feel welcome, you feel that connection with your football club. Whatever the level, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a big stadium or a big Premier League top side, whatever you want.
It certainly resonates more than hiring some artist or architects or nothing to do with the club and say obviously you need the architect to build the stadium.
Yeah, but they've been Arsenal fans as well.
Artwork or decorations, why not get them
completely
involved?
I agree with you. I think it's great what they did. Gab, with Bill Foley's acquisition of Bournemouth, 40% of Premier League clubs are now US-owned. That's a lot. And you wrote a column about this and the fact that this may bring some change soon to how the league is run.
Yeah, so my column was inspired by the newsletter from the excellent Swiss Ramble, Kieran O'Connor, who reminded us of something significant, that the Premier League as a whole has made an operating loss in 8 of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Now we're talking operating loss, which means actual money that comes in and out, excluding player trading. There's player trading, we've talked to you, regular listeners, amortization and all these doodads and stuff. That's kind of something different. I'm just wondering about this. Why are these people continuing to buy into it? Because they're not super fans. It's not a vanity purchase from what I can tell. Vanity purchase Bournemouth. You're doing this because you want a return. You want to run a profitable business. And it makes sense because the Premier League is by far the most successful league in the world. It has a legitimate global footprint and all this stuff. And it could take off in the US even more than it has and whatever. But, there's 3 reasons you buy an asset. You buy an asset because you like it and it gives you personal enjoyment or political clout or whatever. That's one reason. That's not the case with Bournemouth or some of these other U.S. acquisitions on the machine. You buy it because it makes money, and it really doesn't. Not in real terms right now. Actually, most of them, lose money or at best break even.
Yeah.
Or you do it because you think it's going to appreciate in value over time. And obviously, Manchester United has, Chelsea has. Although then again, he spent so much money on it. Who actually knows? Liverpool has, but there's no guarantee that it's going to continue, that somebody's going to come on and be like, oh yeah, there's no guarantee the Glazers are going to get their 7 billion or the FSG are going to get their 3 billion for Liverpool. So I'm wondering at some point whether there's going to be an appetite there to say, you know what, let's have serious cost controls. The NFL is very profitable. Why? Because they spend 48% of the league revenue. They spend that on players, right? No more than that.
On salaries, you mean? On wages, yeah.
Yeah, well, they don't have transfer fees, right?
Yeah.
So all this spend on players is not. In football, the average in the Premier League in the last pre-pandemic year was around 65% in the Premier League. But then on top of that, of course, you've got player acquisition costs. And, you had net spends that's more than 1 billion every year. So what if they went out and they said, you know what? Let's have a proper cap tied to revenue on what we can spend. Little bit like they do in Spain.
Yeah.
What if they go and they impose this on the league? What if they go further? What if they say, let's not have 3 relegation spots? Let's make all our teams more valuable by having 2 relegation spots or 1 or maybe even 0. It seems far-fetched, but at some point, these people are businessmen, right?
Yeah.
They need to make a profit. They need to get a return. That's why they do this. And it only takes 14 votes
out of 20,
to go and turn it. And it's not just the American owners who would like this, by the way. The other guys, they're not morons. They're businessmen too,
right? Yeah.
So this is just a scenario, and it may be far-fetched, but, Super League seemed far-fetched. Project Big Six seemed far-fetched as well. So I don't know, stay tuned. It's just a talking point.
And let's remind everybody for Bournemouth that Michael B. Jordan, the actor, you know, Black Panther and Creed, if that's what you like, is also...
And Friday Night Lights!
Yeah, of course.
Friday Night Lights.
He's a co-owner of Bournemouth Football Club. So, you know, Hollywood again in England in the Premier League.
Yeah, I don't know how much he actually owns, but yeah.
I know, but still he was there on the pitch with his scarf and, you know, looking sharp.
Lawns are held at Strasbourg, which is how Paris Saint-Germain became winter champions. Jules, I think they've lost one game all season long. Now, it's also they don't play in Europe. Fine. But it's still pretty neat.
Hey, it's an amazing season.
Who else has lost one game all season long?
Yeah.
In the big five?
PSG and Arsenal and Napoli. And that's it, I think.
It's pretty good company to keep.
Yeah. Or maybe Barca. One defeat, maybe, I think. But yeah, no, you're right. And you were aware, obviously, and you didn't see their win against PSG on New Year's Day. But they were wonderful, incredible. Even against Strasbourg last night, they were a bit unlucky to only draw because they played really well still. So now the gap is 6 points, which is not uncatchable, but it's still 6 points against a PSG team with Neymar, Kylian and Messi, of course. But even if they finish second, it would be an incredible achievement. Well done to Franck Hayes, the very, very good coach that they have. As we mentioned before, Joseph Ugolion, their owner, and all the work that they do there, because it's just brilliant, brilliant work. And again, it's the way a football club should be run and a first team and a squad should be run as well. So, you know, well done to them. Chelsea are considering giving Chimwe Bakayoko, one of my Paris born and bred boys, of course, the Ross Barkley treatment and terminating his contract. Gab is on loan at Milan and has made zero appearances this season.
Yeah, so it's a...
Such a shame, man.
It's a two-year loan at Milan, and the reason he's not made any appearances supposedly is at some point they trigger a clause where they have to take him, make the deal permanent, and they're not going to do that. And he hasn't played particularly well when he did play last season. I think this is just a reminder of how quickly things can lose. Because you remember when he left Monaco, he was seriously hyped.
It was amazing. Him and Fabinho were the best pair of center midfielders in Europe.
And I can't help but wonder what happened. What does he have left? Has he said anything? Does he go back? When you go back and when you ever bump into him on the streets, you probably live in different neighborhoods in Paris growing up. But
not too far from me, yeah.
And what does he say?
I don't know. I think...
You say, Jules, where did it all go?
No, but I think Chelsea was wrong. Chelsea was the wrong call. But when he did sign there, it felt like, I thought he had all the qualities for England, for English football, for the Premier League, that he could do really well there. Maybe too much competition for places. I don't know. Maybe he lost a bit of confidence. Maybe there was a few injuries. Going to Italy was not a bad idea. And he had some decent moments between Milan and Napoli. And that kind of, but then eventually you wonder how all that talent has been wasted, really. Let's be honest.
I also wonder what Chelsea's books are going to look like when the dust settles with all these terminated contracts and expensive thing. We haven't even mentioned, you know, Lukaku obviously injured again. Yeah. It's a different injury from the one he had before, but I don't see how Inter are going to keep him around at the end of the season.
So, he wants to stay, he said it, but...
Well, okay, fine. Then cancel your contract with Chelsea. I'm sure Chelsea would cancel it and then, you know, play for something else. But, you know, it's... whatever. I'm sure we'll be able to get into Chelsea's finances at a different time.
Some point, for sure.
Maybe Todd Boehly has a plan.
Yeah, of course. Let's trust. Do you want to trust in Todd Boehly or not?
Yeah, well, let's trust in Todd. Let's play an all-star game every week. And that should sort it out. Gareth Bale announces retirement from football. Jules, some say he's not just the greatest ever Welsh player, but the greatest ever British player.
Yeah, I mean, this is the debate on Monday when the story broke. Where does this rank in your top three, top five of the greatest British players of all time, you know, with George Best and Bobby Charlton and Bobby Moore and all of that, whoever you want, Wayne Rooney, whoever you like, Kenny Dalglish, you choose. It's a debate. We will all have a different top five. For example, I just think he's been an amazing servant to Welsh football, of course, to British football. The five Champions League is never going to be beaten. I don't think any other British players are going to win five. And some of the most iconic goals as well, whether it's Copa del Rey, Champions League final with Wales as well, taking that team to the Euro semi-final, to a World Cup. Pretty amazing achievements.
I think a lot of old timers would even question whether he's the greatest ever Welsh player. I think that is a legitimate debate to have.
Of course.
John Charles was way before my time, but, you know, I can read and learn about him.
Yeah.
I encourage others to do so as well. It's interesting, though. John Charles retired when he was 43. You know, after he came back and, you know, I started at Leeds and then, you know, went to Juventus and then came back. And then he ended up playing, I forget for who, but in the lower divisions until he was 43. So this is obviously somebody who felt a need to be on the pitch.
Yeah, and the love of football was maybe different to Gareth
Bale. And maybe with Gareth Bale, it's also different. And both, by the way, had injuries, but two great players. I'm just going to leave this debate to fans of Welsh football out there. I'm not going to get involved in this.
Okay. 50 Cent has revealed that he and Eminem were offered $9 million to play at the 2022 World Cup, but it didn't happen because Eminem's people said, no, thank you.
Yeah, this is so random. Not just that, but talk to me about this. And 50 Cent also said, oh, they were offered $9 million. And he said, it would have been $1 million for me and $8 million for him.
For Eminem, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's not clear whether the no was because he didn't want to go to Doha, he didn't like the architecture. I don't know if it was some of the concerns that other artists like Dua Lipa had, and which the Black Eyed Peas, for example, did not have because they did play at the World Cup. I just thought it was so random. The thing that strikes me is, why would you split this equally? I mean, I'm an Eminem fan, but like, should is it fair that 50 Cent should only get $1 million and the other guy gets eight times as much? You know. I mean,
Eminem is eight times better than 50 Cent, though. So maybe.
Arguably. Why not? Jules, this brings us to an end.
Already.
But now that we're back, we had such a great time. We're going to come back and do this again on Monday, yes?
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to choose the Manchester Derby or the London Derby to go as our main segment, or maybe both.
Or the Super Cup of the Saudi Arabia. What if we have a Clásico in the final? Barcelona,
oh my God,
of course.
Imagine.
Playing.
It's
going to
be a great weekend of football anyway.
So we got you covered. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.